You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 8 o'clock on the dot right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When last we left you, we did What'd You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence. And mine was, I think my mom is still alive. My mom died 4 years ago, June 1st, 2017. And I also learned this weekend that my mom bought her stone, and she's right next to my dad, and her birth date is on there, but her date of death is not. So we got to get that. We got to take it out, and the company's got to put her date, the date that she died, on there. So what happened was this is so weird. My brother's a White Sox fan, so he came for the White Sox series.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the games and had a good time and all that. And then we went to Chicago and watched up there and beat their ass. So that was bad. But the day my brother got here, he hadn't been to this house that we live in now before. He got here. And we woke up in the morning, and there was a bird in the house.
In the house?
In the house. Now, I've lived a lot of places, and I've never seen a bird in a house. Have you?
This is not a bird that you own. This is not your pet. You don't have a pet bird.
No, we don't have a pet bird.
Okay.
It was flying around the house.
So this is a wild bird that has gotten your house.
It's a baby bird. It's a tiny smaller bird.
Yeah.
Not tiny, but it's a smaller bird.
One like a crow was like a noticeable.
No. It's a bird. I don't know. Just a regular bird.
Size of your hand bird?
Yeah, not even. You put it in your hand. And, okay. Yeah, it's a little bird, and he's flying around. And we're like, what the hell? There's a bird in the house. How's a bird get in the house? I've never seen a bird in the house other than in a cage. And we're like, wow. I finally trapped him in our room. He came. He flew all over the house, closed the door in our room, opened the window, and the bird flew out.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're like, okay. Wow, that was weird. My sister shows up Friday. She'd never been to our house before.
Okay.
Friday. She walks in. 2 minutes later, there's a bird in the house.
Same bird?
I think it's the same bird.
Okay.
Bird was gone. Bird's back. Bird in the house again. Now, my brother never been here. My sister never been here. The day they're there, the bird shows up. Unbelievable. Now get this. So my sister, Friday night, we got the bird out of the house. Saturday morning, open up the window, bird gets out of the house. My sister leaves Saturday morning, goes to the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
Goes to San Antonio yesterday, comes back at 10 o'clock at night. Sister opens the door, bird flies back in. Now it's really, really, really weird.
Uh-huh. Very.
I'm like, it's got to be my mom. And she's haunted something we need to do. Or, I mean, she's telling us something. All right? This is the weirdest. I've never seen a bird in the house anyway. But it just so happens the day my brother comes and the day my sister comes, twice.
When you get the family energy all together, the bird shows
bird
up.
Bird shows up.
Uh-huh.
It's the weirdest thing ever.
Was your mom fond of birds?
No, my mom hates animals. We never had a pet.
See, that's the ironic part about all this.
Well, she's being punished.
She's a bird.
She's being punished for all of her sins. Okay, she came back as a bird. How about that? How weird is that?
Well, I mean, are there any other family members that have never been to this house? Are they going to show up here in the next couple of weeks?
Well,
this is like the holiday season.
Yeah. No, I don't have any. I got a brother and a sister. That's
no,
it.
Well, but like no cousins or anything that might show up.
Oh, I got plenty of cousins.
But sure, yeah.
I don't know if she'd come for them. I don't know. I don't know if my mom. Whatever. No, but she. Yeah, it is the weirdest. I mean, again, and my wife is in the bathroom. I go, you're not going to believe this.
So you explained this to your sister, I'm sure.
She knows. It's my mom too.
This is the same bird.
The same bird.
And you've told your brother this now. Like, hey, the bird showed up when the sister came.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. My brother thinks I live in my backyard and then train tracks right here.
Mm-hmm.
The train tracks right here in Wesleyan.
Mm-hmm.
It backs up to my house.
Okay.
My brother thinks he's in my cousin Vinny. Whenever he sleeps, when he came to my house, he's like, "What the bleep? It's 3 a.m. and the train." He thinks he's Joe Pesci, my cousin Vinny.
So y'all haven't decorated for Christmas yet, correct?
We have.
Okay, the birds in the Christmas
tree. The birds in the Christmas tree.
Is there a wreath on your door, though?
Yes, there is.
Okay, because they build the like
their nest in the door. I think
you're
right.
Where it is,
but it wasn't there. Now she did have a different wreath, a Halloween wreath, when my brother came. Or some kind of a wreath out there. I think you're right. I think the bird is hanging out at the door in the wreath at the door.
And it also could be your mom that wants to be close to
it
you.
It could be. But why only when my brother and sister are here? That's the weird part. So, no, that's a true. It's unbelievable. We're all like, this is too weird.
So now are you going to put out like
I start yelling at Pats, make me. Hey, you making a gravy? Let's go. Come on, Patsy. We're hungry. Anyway, so that is one of the weirdest things ever.
That is very, very unique how the family members show up sort of in those ways.
It really is. So, I mean, this is a real question now. Does Sark make it through this season?
Oh,
I mean, after this, in this offseason, do they fire him after 1 year?
I don't.
How can you lose the can? I mean, I honest to God, how do you lose to Kansas? How do you lose 6 straight games?
It's what the word.
You can't tell me that Texas doesn't have talent.
No, I can't. You're right. I can't. So there's definitely a coaching deficiency at some point, in some way, shape, or form. But I get that it's the worst. What, the worst Texas start for a coach in like nearly 100 years or something like that. I understand that, but 1 year? That's some NFL stuff. That's not college.
That is NFL stuff. I don't know. I'm not so sure. Heather Dinich talked about how much patience might Texas have.
Typically in college football, the expectations are so high. Mm-hmm. There seems to be this 3-year window, right, which is real or not in terms of allowing coaches time to get it done. But I would think that given all the money involved and the transition pending at some point here to the SEC, things are changing for that program, and I think that he deserves some time to get his recruiting classes in, make some changes possibly on his staff, maybe at the coordinator level, and give him some time to figure it out. I think he's going to need more than 3 years to get this done.
Oh, you think these people are going to put up with 3 years of this? More than 3 years of this? There is zero chance. I mean, if he loses like this again next year, there is zero chance he's the coach after next season.
There's a tremendous amount of money associated with UT football, obviously. Yeah. We're not unfamiliar with that. They're going to have to write a big check to the Big 12 on the way out the door. And then they may have to write a big check to Sark. He's guaranteed 21. He's guaranteed $21 million. So $21 million for 2 years of work if it doesn't work out.
Whatever. How much are they losing by being this crappy? How much money are they losing in everything around? I mean, I can't imagine. Where's the Tech game? Here or at Austin or in Lubbock?
It was.
They played.
That was in
Thanksgiving.
Austin. No, they
played.
TCU. They got right. Who they got left? TCU.
Kansas State.
Yeah.
Oh, they're playing Kansas State on Thanksgiving now.
Yep.
What happened? I thought it was. What the hell? Kansas State, Texas on Thanksgiving. That's the worst. That's ridiculous. Well, that's a loss. Where schedule. Is that? At Kansas State?
No, it should be.
It's in Austin.
It's in Austin. Yeah.
How many people will be there? I mean, honestly, how many people actually show up for that?
I mean, they might be half full, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And that's.
They play on Friday, too, not actual Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, no.
But
no,
still,
no.
Nobody's going to be there.
Nobody's going to be there. Who's going to go? Who's going to go to watch that? That team that's lost 6 straight games.
Is the SEC going to fix that? I mean, they're going to have. I mean, that's going to be like a little like lock it in game when the Longhorns are over in the SEC. Texas A&M Friday after Thanksgiving or maybe on Thanksgiving.
No.
You don't think they'll lock it in?
No. I think there are four team divisions,
mm-hmm.
and you will play. So you will play your team. You know, you 3 games every year,
right?
So that's 3 of your games. And then you will play all the other divisions, two teams in each division. That makes 9. And then you got three. Then you got three
cupcakes.
Cupcakes. Yeah. non-conference games. So that'll be your 12-game schedule. So you'll play every team in the in the conference at least every other year. And so you can't do A&M. A&M and Texas will not be in the same division. I think they probably will do that for A&M because A&M got screwed on the whole thing. But A&M doesn't want Texas in their division.
So they're not gonna lock in that game. Like, they're not gonna make sure that they play every single year. Oh man, that's a big miss, I think.
Yeah.
You got to have some locked in games in the SEC. Like, for sure, this team's playing this team every year.
Well, your division games, for sure.
Right.
Oklahoma will be in their division. And the rumor is that it's going to be Missouri and Arkansas.
Gosh.
Well, I mean, listen, right now, Arkansas is probably the best team in that division.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Probably. And Arkansas has been a doormat in the SEC. And they're probably the best team right now.
That goes to show you hire the right guy, your program, the right mood, the right.
Yeah.
I mean, because. Look, Chad Morris did not do well for Arkansas, and they got the right guy, the right mentality in there, coached him up, turned it all around. It's not like Pittman's working with a bunch of great recruits at Arkansas. Like, I mean, Chad Morris left them kind of a bare cupboard, and then he comes in there and he teaches them a little bit of toughness, and there you go. Sark hadn't taught these guys anything at Texas.
So no, he didn't have a bare cupboard. He actually had a cupboard that was full. I mean, Arkansas has talented players.
Sure, but, I mean, Morris had been recruiting a certain way. Pittman comes in a different version. Yeah. I mean, Briles is running kind of a more up-tempo offense than what your traditional Arkansas offense used to be.
Right, right. Well, yeah, absolutely. Then that's it. Coordinators are so important. 812 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. A lot of Buster Olney had something to say about the Astros shortstop situation. We will address that on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
I think I need help. I'm drowning in myself.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN. Now, we didn't address this. This is a story that was brewing this weekend, Brian Jones. We will, I'm not sure that it's a difficult situation. Brian Jones is a former University of Texas linebacker. He's 53 years old now, national college football analyst for CBS Sports. He is claiming he joined the 104.9, the Horn. Is that BK's station?
Believe so, yes.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
UT's flagship radio station. Alabama head coach Nick Saban warned his former offensive coordinator about taking the job. Said, it's just a shame, man. Now, there is something to this. Nick Saban, Paul Feinbaum, and we'll get to the Astros in just a minute. But I want to clarify this first. Nick Saban, Paul Feinbaum said he was talking to Nick Saban, and Saban said, I didn't take the UT job because there's too many boosters there that have too much say. I can tell you for a fact that is the truth. That is the truth. I talked to a booster that said, I mean, he's big up there. He said, yeah, I got to spend a couple hours with Sark. I really like that guy. He was in this offseason, and you know, I really like that guy. I think he's going to do great things. I think he's going to be great. And I just thought to myself, why is Sark talking to you for a couple of hours?
Yeah, what?
That's just wasting time. I mean, nothing against you, but you're a booster. That dude's got work to do. You think Nick Saban would spend a couple of hours with a booster telling him, you know, that is the worst thing that could happen to University of Texas, because that's just one of the boosters. That's just one of the big guys. You know how many big guys they got at the University of Texas that want Sark's time and want to give their opinion about the state? It's almost like Hoosiers, where the dads are coming in and trying to run the practice. You know, it is. It's almost like that. And you know what? He's got to kick him out, beat it. Because Nick Saban walked into Alabama and said, listen, you guys don't run this place. I run this place. And guess what happened? National championship. So now there's a linebacker who, Brian Jones, who says that they're telling that I don't know if it's boosters or what. Here's what he said. He's saying that since the Eyes of Texas crap went down, you know, mm-hmm. and all that hubbub, that there are emails that will tell you that boosters are telling, or people high up at the University of Texas were telling Sark to play guys based on race. And that is, and listen, and so I don't know, Chris Del Conte, he was at the West Virginia game. He said, that's completely untrue. None of that's true. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Absolutely absurd. And so I don't want to give it much, a lot of legs, because it could well be just a guy saying stuff. I don't know. All I know is that that is, if that is the case, whoever sent that, are they playing a bunch of white guys at linebacker, University of Texas? I don't know, because I don't watch University of Texas football because it's so crappy. It's too crappy to watch. If they're playing all white guys, which they're not, you know, then I could see that you'd have some kind of a point there. If boosters say it, oh, well, then you know, hit the booster or whomever said it, you know, hit them that, you know, you're a racist, shut up. You know, that's a bunch of baloney. If you're pissed off that the guys don't want to sing Eyes of Texas, I get that. But to suggest that now you just need to play white linebackers, I don't know.
They have got to start winning football games in Austin. That will fix so many of these things. Boosters will be happy. Doesn't matter who's playing, what's playing. They got to just start winning. Just get all this will go away if you could just win some damn football games.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff would never happen if they had three more wins than they do now. Like, you wouldn't have a former linebacker for the program showing up on the flagship station saying, yeah, you know, this guy has to play because a booster said that they got to play this guy over that guy.
Yeah.
Because of the skin color.
Yeah, you're right. Wins cure everything.
Gotta win some football games.
You know what? It's always got to be about race. Listen. Whoever said that is the one who needs, then we need his emails instead of John Gruden's from now on. We need to get into the University of Texas. We got to have an investigation in the University of Texas.
Throw some FOIAs out there, some Freedom Information Acts.
That's right.
I'd like all the booster emails, please.
820 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Buster only tweeted this out. Buster only said, the Astros continue to send the message to other teams and agents that they fully intend to compete in the years ahead. I like that. That's
okay.
Good.
All right.
The signing of Justin Verlander fits that, and they are in the market for elite shortstops. That is interesting. The top five guys, Correa is one, Seager is two, Story is three, Baez is four. And who am I missing?
You say Simeon?
Simeon is three. Story is four.
Baez
is five. Okay. You're trading Carlos Correa for one of those guys. If you're going to pay a guy to be your shortstop of the future, I get it. You don't want to do a 10-year deal, 8 to 10-year deal. I get that. That's not – if you can get Simeon – now, Simeon's older, right? 31?
Yep. He'll be 31 on opening day.
Simeon's older. Now, here's a lot of people will say, wait a minute. Why would you not pay a guy who's 27, 8 years, but you're going to pay Simeon 4 or 5 years? What? You're going to have until 30? Well – how much is Simeon's contract going to be versus how much Carlos's contract is going to be? By the way, Simeon's production is pretty damn good.
Power. Lots of power,
yes,
there.
Simeon actually plays a lot more.
Played every game last season.
Yeah, and Carlos plays now too, now to be fair.
But Simeon has twice played every game in a season.
But you're not committing that big $240 to $300 million number to Simeon. I don't know. Simeon's value has gone way up. Mm-hmm. In the offseason, before this season started, I saw Simeon will get about $18 to $20 million. Simeon's getting more than that.
Probably end up well into the 20s,
yes,
per year.
Yeah. But if you can get him on a shorter deal, let's say 4 $100. I mean, that's a third of what Carlos is going to cost. But you're going to say, wait a minute, he's going to be 35. And you're going to blow, you know, throw up all over yourself. I think that's a much better deal if you want to know the truth than Carlos.
Here's what I can't reason and figure out here with the Astros shortstop pursuit. They love this Jeremy Peña kid they got at AAA. Yeah. And they love this Pedro León kid who can also play shortstop. And if you look at the minor league rankings, León's the number two prospect they have, and Peña's the number four prospect they have. So they love both these guys. Wouldn't any investment in a shortstop block both of those guys?
It does. It does. But, as you well know, because, well, oh, no, 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 no. He was on with the Killer Bees, not with you guys. But right before your show, I guess it was on Friday, Eduardo Perez says you can't bring up Jeremy Peña.
I think it would be a major loss for the Houston Astros. I really do believe that. Look, the Houston Astros are in it again to win this division. They understand they're going to need that shortstop there. I would not feel comfortable right now just without its fragment at short. A couple years ago, I would have. I think when he came into camp this past year, a little bit heavier, the movement to his left, to his right, just was not the same. I would leave him at third base. And the Houston Astros have always wanted to win with pitching and defense. And that defense up the middle has to be solid. And right now, for the Houston Astros, Jeremy Peña, who is their number one prospect, number eight prospect in the organization, and some in number one in others, I would not try to rush him to the big leagues. There are still free agents out there that are available that you can get for a one-year contract. Jose Iglesias could be a guy that you can fly in until Peña is ready.
I don't know. I don't know. Here's where I think. I think you get a Starling Marte in center field. He takes that hole that Carlos leaves out. He's going to be comparable offensively to Carlos. And you know what? That hole that you had in center field offensively, now you is at shortstop.
He keeps that. He keeps that seven deep that the Astros had. He keeps that seven deep that they had.
Yeah.
It just instead of that shortstop spot being part of the seven, now it's center field.
Right.
Marte's a very interesting player. He's going to get something similar to. I mean, not Semien money, but he's going to.
Yeah, he's going to get paid.
The tough part about Marte is it feels like everybody's in on him.
Yeah,
like you've seen like eight teams check in on him. Whereas, like, these shortstops, like, each one has, like, two or three teams that are interested, whereas, like, eight teams have, like, checked in on Marte.
Yeah, I agree, but I also think that winning here is, I think this is a, and anybody thinks, well, you don't want to be, the people don't want to be, they want to come here and win. The Astros are a very desirable place, and they're spending money.
Well, a big thing about Marte, too, doesn't cost you a draft pick if you sign
it.
Story does, Semien does. And James Click coming from Tampa and working with a draft pick deficit, because you had the draft picks that you lost from the cheating scandal, it may be tough for him to think about signing someone that costs you a draft pick. And I know we're talking about a draft pick for a player that's like 7 years away from impacting the organization, but these guys care a ton about these draft
picks. Well, yeah. Now, is it Trevor Story? I don't know. I don't know about Trevor Story. His home road splits are significant.
203 on the road.
Yeah.
This past
season.
But
Eduardo Perez isn't scared of that.
Eduardo, what scares me about Story are those home road splits. What do you make of that?
I'm not worried about him. I know people say, well, he hit 203 on the road. He hit 290-something at home. I'm not concerned. If people were worried also about DJ LeMahieu's home road splits. I think anybody and any player's home road splits, if you play in Colorado, they're going to be drastic. Now, the 203 mark, will it concern you? Let's not forget that Trevor Story was also hurt this year. And those numbers, he played hurt. They aren't the Trevor Story numbers that baseball people have seen him produce year after year.
The thing with Story, though, it's his whole career. You know, like Eduardo kind of stat checked Jeremy right there.
Yeah.
And then when Eduardo was off the phone, Jeremy was like, well, his whole career, he's kind of sucked away from home.
Yeah.
Like 241 on the road for his career.
Yeah, but you get used to a park. You know what? Your new home might be, You never know.
My argument for Story, like a positive for him, is like the glove's fine, solid glove, and then he's never actually hit in a good lineup. Like he's had one really good hitter around him his entire career. And that's when him and Arenado were there.
Yeah,
and they both got kind of banged up at different times. But like, drop him into this lineup where he's got like some protection.
Can he get some pitches.
Yeah, he can get some better stuff to hit. Oh, by the way, I mean it's not like Minute Maid's like this amazing like pitcher's park.
No,
like,
but
this
what are you gonna have to pay him?
Over $100 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but it better be a 4-year deal. I mean, you start talking about over $100 million, and then people are going to say, "What the hell? Why in the hell are you're getting rid of Springer? You're getting rid of Correa, and you're still paying out, you know, $25 million a year to a guy?"
Do you think there's any thought by Click and Crane that they should have kept Springer?
No,
they
got to the World Series without him.
Sure, I understand that, but what they're looking at now and what they may end up paying Marte, which I've seen some baseball people estimate he may get Springer money.
Yeah.
Well, if you pay Marte Springer money,
why didn't you pay Springer?
And you let Correa walk.
Well, but again, that was a 6-year deal. They don't. Here's the deal. This organization has a philosophy.
Five or hit the door. Five or hit the door.
Five or beat it.
Yep.
Now, I don't know that they offered George at 31. And plus, George was pissed because they didn't bring him up till later. I don't know if they offered George even five. I don't know. I have not seen that. I haven't seen what their offer was. But they're pretty steadfast. And guess what? You're not getting any Bryce Harpers or Tatises or Lindors or Correas or Springers, or and you're not just not getting them anymore in free agency because you ain't going long term deals. And these guys want that long term guaranteed money.
I mean, the rumor the Athletic had that Luno went to Harper and said, "Hey, we'll give you 45 for 1 year." Harper and company laughed at him. Was like, "I'm gonna go take this decade plus deal with Philly."
Yeah.
Worked out pretty well for Harper. He's getting paid, won an MVP.
He did a 13-year deal too.
13,
and it ended up less money per year. The 14-year Tatis deal don't make sense to me.
Would it shock you if just one day just Bryce Harper wasn't good at baseball anymore? Just like he just fell off a cliff. Felt like he shows up 1 year and it ain't there anymore.
Yeah, I didn't think you should. Listen, he was MVP this year, so you know what. He actually surprised the snot out of me because I didn't think he was all that good. If you want to know the truth, he's good.
Like I don't,
but I could see him falling.
Like over. I don't think he's going to be a gradual decline guy. Like I think he shows up one day and it ain't there anymore.
Yeah.
Like it's 13 years, so like I mean I'm betting on Father Time here. But I think he shows up before we're into the decade mark of that deal, and it just ain't there anymore.
Yeah, could well be. 830 ESPN 97.5 7-3-7-8-0-3-7. What do you guys think about this signing shortstop? You're more than welcome to get in here. You got any thoughts on, man, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to pay big money to one of these guys. What do you guys think? 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
You found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't want anyone to dislike me as much as Isaiah Stewart dislikes LeBron James.
He was fired up.
Man, was he fired up. They couldn't control him. Those of you who didn't see, LeBron elbowed him in the face on a free throw. He got, and it bloodied him. He got hit pretty good. He slapped. Well, he said I couldn't, you know, I've watched it a couple of times.
When LeBron goes to box out, his elbow is right where, Stewart is to the left, LeBron's on the right. LeBron's left elbow is right on his shoulder, and he literally just backhands. Like, it's not dirty. It looks 100% intentional.
I saw it a couple of times.
And then waits, and then kind of pulls back his hand like he's winding up, and then bam, right in the face. I think Jake retweeted the video that has that top angle that shows.
Oh, the top angle? Because I watched it a couple of times, and I just couldn't see exactly how he hit him. This says elbow, and this one says... Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, I got it.
Oh, it was like...
elbow and a slap.
It was like the bottom of... It looked like the bottom of LeBron's like hand.
Yeah, got him.
The hamate bone?
Him at the eye. He's bleeding from his right around his right eye, near his right eye. And boy, was he pissed! And he couldn't be controlled. LeBron got kicked out.
Vogel after the game saying, oh, well, Stewart was elbowing LeBron in the ribs earlier in the game. Like, oh, okay, pal. That doesn't mean that LeBron gets to smack the guy in the face.
Him.
Yeah.
He got to B-slap him. And Isaiah Stewart, he could not. I mean, he tried to go after
him
again.
He was losing it. He knocked his own guys over.
Yeah.
Bowled his own teammates over.
He's bowling everybody over. He wants him some LeBron right now. Boy.
Did you see when he was leaving the court, too? He ran through the tunnel and was going to come out on the other side. But one of the Pistons players went to the other side of the tunnel and was like, okay, I'm here in case he tries to roll through this way.
Man, I hope. When do they don't play? Do they play again in Detroit? Do they play in Detroit? I want to see that. I want to see LeBron. LeBron's got to be sick that day because guess what's going to happen? No. Isaiah Stewart will take a cheap shot. Dude wanted him so bad.
They play again in L.A. on this Sunday.
What? Oh, this was in Detroit. That's right. This one was in Detroit.
Oh, LeBron's going to take a day off on one.
Oh, my gosh. They played this Sunday at the Lakers?
That's got to be flexed to, like, national.
Put the Pistons and the Lakers in national TV. Let them box.
Wow. That is nuts.
The NBA's now, here's where the NBA can kind of, they're going to take a couple of days to investigate. The Pistons and Lakers will each play a couple of games. Yeah. And then each of them get a suspension for a game or two that just so happens to cover the rematch.
Probably.
That's the crappy NBA thing to do. Now the good thing would be just like, okay, let them fight each other on the court. Let's see it.
If you watch the video, Russ was the main reason he came back charging. Russ was being Russ, wanting to escalate. Then wondered after the game why he got. I don't think Russ even knew he had a tech, right?
No, he had no idea.
He didn't know he got a tech. He didn't even know he got a tech. So he was. He must have been being Russ.
When do you think the last time LeBron got in a physical altercation with somebody was? Like, it has to have been. I mean, he has not gotten in a fist fight with anybody since he's.
I think everybody just
not
jumps
to see
in
his growth spurt when he was probably about 9 or 10 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody went near him.
Everybody jumped. Well, now people will. You could see. I mean, because I don't know that he's a dirty player. I don't know. Now his teammates will protect him because he's the reason they're winning. So,
sure.
You know that, and that's exactly what happened here. Is everybody got him? Did you see DeAndre Jordan was like, okay, because Isaiah Stewart broke through 5, 6, 7, 8 people and was still charging. And DeAndre Jordan was standing there like, you got to get through me now. And it didn't look like he was going to get through DeAndre Jordan.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So anyway, that was interesting. You know, I don't know. Are you a miniseries kind of guy? Are you watch a docs or do you watch?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, it's not a doc. It's a miniseries. Have you been on Dope Sick?
Oh, I finished it last week.
I finished it last night.
Oh, it's good, right?
It's really good. What I didn't like is they didn't explain at the end. Usually, you know, they got Oxycontin was now taken off the market, blah, 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 blah. They did none of that. They did none of that. If for those of you who don't know, if you haven't seen it, it's on Hulu. Watch it. Dope Sick.
It's about the opioid crisis.
It's about Oxycontin in particular. And how the Sacklers really poisoned America.
And they lied about how you use it. Yeah. Just kept pushing it on people.
It's really good.
It's fascinating.
It's really, really, really good.
It's like a dramatic reenactment of how the opioid crisis with Oxycontin started.
Right. Well, and it's got great actors in it. It's fantastic. It is. I highly, highly recommend Dope Sick if you haven't seen it.
Very good.
I don't know if you got Hulu. Get Hulu for a week. Or a month, whatever, you get the free month.
Yeah.
And then you stop it.
This is one of the easy things where you can just do a little password trading. Like you get someone's Hulu for a month and then you give them the Netflix or the Disney Plus or something.
Right.
Just do a little password trading.
Right.
Me and Asmund do that all the time.
Oh, you do?
I give him ESPN Plus, he gives me, The Athletic or something, do a little password trading.
That's nice. Yeah, I'd like to get some athletic training.
I'll get you all hooked up.
All right.
I'm in password hookup.
Okay, you know that's a federal offense, what we just did right there. Okay? We probably could be convicted.
No, you're just going to, you know, for legal purposes, you're going to be in the room as I read it. You're also going to read it my shoulder.
I got you.
For legal purposes.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, how about this? Who wants to play golf with me? All right? All you got to do is bid some money. 713-780-3776. I'll tell you about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude, I don't know if you saw it, but on my Twitter, Friday, I was at Chesting Ford, and I picked up the Bronco. Holy crap. Is it awesome? It is awesome. Now, getting the Bronco is tough. I mean, you want to talk about everybody wants one of these things. I drove it all weekend long. I got to bring it back today, which sucks. It is spectacular. If you're looking for a really neat, and yeah, I can't tell you how many people stop me. Hey, it's the new Bronco. That's cool, dude. Hey, how much? I was like, it's not really mine. It sucks. It's not mine. Chesting, listen, it's the place to get it. If you want to get this Bronco, I'm highly recommend it. You can test drive it. You can see for yourself. You'll love it. I'm telling you. And everybody is like, wow, that is the coolest car. It is really, really neat. If you're looking for it, one place to get it. You customize it exactly how you want it. You got to wait on it. But guess what? You got time. You got nothing but time. Get it exactly how you want it at Chesting Ford. You will love it. Go to ChestingFord.com or go by the dealership. See it, feel it, touch it, and know that that's for you. All at Chesting Ford. It's on Homestead. It's at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. You'll love it. Chesting Ford.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's our occasional invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting the Latino Learning Center. Art, you need to be there. It's benefiting the Latino Learning Center. Okay, let's go. This year's tournament is going to take place Wednesday, December 1st, 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer is going to receive beverages from Michelob Ultra and Cutwater Spirits, lunch from Frankie's Italian Kitchen, dinner from Orleans Seafood Kitchen, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. It's actually very inexpensive. If you have signed up already and you want to play with me, I met Houston this way. Houston bought me 1 year, and now we play all the time. We're boys, okay? Me and Houston. So this is something that could, I mean, I don't know that you want to be friends with me or whatever. You never know how this is going to end up. But this is awesome. So if you want to play with me, 713-780-3776, you can call in. We'll do it off the air. You can bid. If you want to play and have some fun, we will drink some beers. We will have some fun. It'll be a good time had by all. It's for the Latino Learning Center, and so it's a great event. And if you haven't played in it before, it is a good time. You're going to drive around, right?
That's the plan.
Yep.
I'm thinking golf cart, megaphone, yelling in people's backs.
Yeah, you can do that. Whatever, that's fine. So we're going to start about 10:30, December 1st. It's a Wednesday. I know that's tough, but you know what? Get off of work. Take off one day and come and play golf. It's a great time had by all. 713-780-3776. If you want to bid to play with me, you can do that. 713-780-3776.
A lot of companies have like that built-in charity day. Like, hey, I'm going to take a day off and go work at like a charity and something. Yeah, you're helping out the Latino Learning Center.
This is it.
Yeah, you're going to play golf for a great cause. You're going to drink beer for a great cause.
How come we don't have one of those? They let us take off for a day to go do charity work. We don't have that here at Gal Media.
You have 48
Let's go.
Vacation days.
Huh?
You have like 48 vacation days.
I know, but guess what? I don't. You know how many vacation days I have left?
Yeah, like 3 weeks left that you're going to try to roll
used,
over.
That I haven't used. Listen, come and play and have fun. I'm telling you, it's a good time. It's a good time had by all. We always have a good time. And then I'll give you the business afterwards in the award ceremony. So that happens. That happens every year, too. So if you want to bid, you could bid as little or as much as you want. 713-780-3776.
So you're not promising a win. You're just promising fun.
Just that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm promising fun.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't promise a win.
Right.
So far, I've won it never. Never. there are no promises there. So we got that going on. 713-780-3776 if you want to bid. Back to college football. And back to our – we're going to have at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Clayton Toon join us, the quarterback for the Houston Cougars. The Cougs fell for whatever reason in the AP poll. Now we see that Oregon is out, beat it. Michigan State fell all the way to number 12 at 9-2. They got boat raced by Ohio State. Mm. Georgia's the best team in the land. You know what? Ohio State is the second best team. It wouldn't be surprising at all if Ohio State, if the playoff committee. Now, I don't know. We'll see. Ohio State, but with your human eyes, is going to tell you that they're the second best team in the country. They're 7.5-point favorites over Michigan this week, which I've already gotten on. Alabama, again, struggled, and they struggled with Arkansas. And so I could certainly see them dropping to the 3 spot. There is absolutely no reason whatsoever that Cincinnati shouldn't be number 4, especially since they finally look good winning. Finally.
They smashed SMU. I mean, it was, 2 scores there at the back end that I'm sure the Cincinnati defense wished they had a little shutout. But, I mean, the game was basically never in doubt after the first quarter.
How would you rank the 3 1-loss teams, Notre Dame, Michigan, and Ohio State, and Oklahoma State?
Oklahoma State's better than Notre Dame.
I think so, too.
And Oklahoma State's probably better than Michigan. Michigan cannot get it going at the quarterback spot against good teams. Like like Maryland had them kind of close for a minute, and then it was like they just took care of them. But like I don't trust Michigan's quarterback spot.
No.
Like Oklahoma State's playing really good.
Michigan, period.
I don't know. Never.
Especially in a big game.
No.
There's zero chance that you just can't trust them. You just can't trust them. They are just not. They just never show up in this game, in this Ohio State game, for one, under Harbaugh. They just never show up. And they just don't have the type of athlete that can compete at the highest level. They just don't. They never do. They got a bunch of slow white guys all the time. So I just don't trust them.
I mean, they have 2 wins this century in the Ohio State-Michigan game. It's brutal.
Yeah.
That's now, awful.
It's the worst rivalry. Well, and you know what's the next worst rivalry? Oklahoma State. That has been awful. Oklahoma State just cannot. And now this year, though, they are a better team. They have to prove that they're a better team, and they have to beat Oklahoma once and then probably Baylor. But who's Baylor got this week?
Good question.
Yeah.
Texas Tech.
Oh, yeah.
So Baylor's going to the So Oklahoma State wins. They're going to the Big 12 championship against Baylor.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you think of your 2 announcers getting suspended for?
Total garbage. Total garbage. I mean, look who's the guy who suspended him is one of the worst things to ever happen to college football, Bob Bowlesby. The guy's an idiot. The guy basically let the Big 12 die.
Are you going to try to get suspended here? Is that what you're doing?
Bob Bowlesby is an idiot.
Will suspend you.
Come on, Bob.
From Gal Media.
Come on, Bob.
So those of you that didn't hear, the two Texas Tech local radio guys got suspended because, well, first of all, they called out Bob Bowlesby.
Yes.
And that was the biggest mistake.
Just
like John
Gruden. They said his name.
John Gruden calling the commissioner the F word, right?
He did call him that.
Yes.
But Gruden also called him a football-hating P word.
Yes. That's what he called him. That's right. He dropped an F on him, too.
Yeah, he did drop an F on him.
He dropped an F on him, too.
He dropped a lot of words.
Words. Yeah. A lot of bad words. So that's why they got suspended. But listen, it'll be interesting tomorrow night. It's Cincinnati's left out again. The committee has an agenda.
No doubt.
They have an agenda.
They cannot leave them out tomorrow night.
No.
Unless they want to just tell on themselves.
Yeah.
And if they want to tell on themselves, that's fine. Like, if they just want to confirm everyone's suspicions, that's fine. You can do that. You certainly can if you're the committee. But that would be a really bad look. And that would, hey, maybe they do that and they accelerate the expansion. But no, that would be a bad, they would be telling on themselves to a very bad degree.
I'm so shocked. I can't even imagine Texas and Oklahoma being in the Big 12 again next year. I can't imagine that they're going to be back. They're going to somehow, some way, they've got to buy themselves out of this thing. They can't be lame ducks till 25. They just can't.
No, they can't be lame duck. And I understand. So Dan Patrick had that thing Friday where he was like, they're going to expand next year or they won't till 2025. And then a couple of different college football folks were like, well, Dan Patrick's wrong. I'm like, well, Dan Patrick doesn't break news. So if Dan Patrick's saying it, I'm trusting that Dan Patrick's got a pretty good source on it. Expansion and the movement of these conferences all needs to happen all at once. I don't think that it doesn't need to be like a piecemeal together. Like, that all needs to kind of happen all at once. So everybody needs to write the appropriate checks this upcoming season,
right,
and make everything work.
Right.
Get out of the AAC and into the Big 12. Get out of the Big 12 into the SEC. Like, the WAC and CUSA and the MAC and, you know, Mountain West, they had a bunch of stuff move around and all that. Get everything fixed. Get it to 12 or 8, whatever the official number is, and let's go. Like, everybody write the checks and make it all happen. Stop pee-footing around here.
Right. No. I agree wholeheartedly. It'll be awfully... because if they don't move over right away and the Big 12 is sitting there with 8 teams, that's a disaster, because that might not be a Power 5 anymore.
Well, not at 8. No,
not at
certainly
8.
Not.
No, no.
Nope, can't do that.
857 ESPN 97.5. You want to bid on me to play with me on December 1st? You're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here to hang out. And come on, let's go. Hey, guys, if you're looking for a good time had by all, bring your Friendsgiving to Toyota Center. The Rockets take on the Bulls Wednesday night. As low as $25, you get a ticket to the game and 2 beverages. This includes beer, soda, and water. All fans can also take advantage of $5 Clutch City lagers from 6 to 7 p.m. The first 3,000 fans will also receive a Rockets oven mitt to use on Thanksgiving, courtesy of Kroger. Rockets, Bulls. Bulls, pretty good team now. Hey, the Rockets played good against the Knicks. They could have possibly won that basketball game. I know they didn't, but they actually showed a lot of heart. They actually had a lead pretty late in that game. It was actually a really good game. They could take, you know what? You don't know. Maybe this stuff's coming together for them. Let's go. You want to get out there? Hey, family's coming to town. You want to take them somewhere? $25, ticket to the game, and 2 beverages? Let's go. It's Wednesday night at Toyota Center. Purchase your tickets tonight at Rockets.com. That's Rockets.com.
ESPN 97.5.